I feel like the atmosphere is starting to change. To tag on what Pastor Elwood was saying about Wednesday night prayer. We've had prayer meetings in the past, prayer services, prayer meetings, and I don't think you can pray without getting some kind of results, but we don't always see those results. So I don't want to discredit any time we've ever prayed. However, I do feel like the last 2 weeks, first week we prayed together for 15 minutes, and the second week we prayed together for 20 minutes. And I just feel like in the last two Wednesday nights, we've accomplished more in the kingdom than we have in prayer meetings in quite some time combined. And I think it's really important that as a church we come together and believe and agree that we are going to be a... Look, let me tell you something. Revival is coming to the nation. Period. Revival is coming to the nation. Revival is coming to the nation. Revival is coming to Pennsylvania. It's up to us if we want to be a part of it or not, because it's coming whether we are a part of it or not. Revival is coming to the nation. I want to be a part of it. How about you? I want to be a part of it. I want to be right smack dab in the middle of it this time. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be in the outskirts of it. I want to be right in the center of it. Lord, when you revive your people, start with me. Revive me, Lord. Young people may be dismissed to your classes. Last week we talked about motherhood as a result of passion and staying on the term or the subject of passion. I would like to pick up from last week and just keep going. The creative force behind all great art, all great drama, all great music, great architecture, all great writing is passion. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Say that again. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes life. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives you a reason to get up in the morning and go, I'm going to do something with my life today. Without passion, life becomes boring, monotonous, becomes routine, becomes rather dull. I'm hearing a song in my head. I don't have a clue who sang it. I just remember it from years ago. It goes, I would walk 10,000 miles. How many know that song? It's not a Christian song, but it was, do you know it? Yeah. But basically what it is this guy is, I'm hopefully he's singing to a girl that I would do whatever it takes. I would cross the mountains. I would cross the ocean. I would do whatever it takes to be with you. That's a sign of passion. Passion is the thing that drives us to accomplish. Passion is what drives us to accomplish. If you're taking notes, you just put dot, 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 because you can put whatever you want there. Without passion, you really can't accomplish much. Passion is so important in our lives. I remember, I don't know why in the world I'm hearing all these songs in my head today, but I remember the song, it goes, I want to leave a legacy. I believe it was Nicole Nordeman sang it. I want to leave a legacy, right? I want to leave my mark on this earth. How many agree? How many would like to leave a mark? And not just, you know, I went to see my parents last weekend for a few hours, and we spent a couple of those hours looking at Ancestry.com. And I was showing them, you know, relatives that they didn't know they had, and all this kind of stuff, going back on my mom's side pretty long distance and my dad's side pretty long distance. And basically what's been marked or left on this earth has been a little green leaf. In Ancestry.com anyways. In a lot of ways, that's the most they've left. And I would say the reason why they didn't leave much more of a mark than that is because they didn't have any passion about anything. If we want to leave our mark on this world, we must have passion. God created you with the emotions to have passion in your life, and he wants you to live a passionate life. Passion is what mobilizes armies into action. I remember watching that movie Braveheart. Whatever the guy's name was, I forget it's Wallace, I guess his name was. He got up there in front of this army who was about ready to leave. And he breathed passion into them. They picked it up, picked up their swords and their spears, and they went to battle and won. Passion is what causes armies to pick up arms. You say, no, it's freedom. No, it's the passion for freedom. Not just freedom. You got to have passion about freedom. Passion is what it causes explorers to go boldly where no man has gone before. Passion is what causes scientists to spend late night hours trying to find the cure for dreaded diseases. Passion is what makes or what takes a good athlete and turns him or her into a great athlete, where they're breaking records. Elwood was talking about that. What drives you to practice? Passion. Right? What drives you to practice? Passion. How many of you ever took piano lessons when you were a kid? How many of you still play? Because unless your mom had passion, you probably didn't have much. Which is good. Which means to me that you can have passion for someone else to push them and to drive them, but eventually they've got to pick up their own passion. They've got to pick up their own purpose. We've got to have a passion for life. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. I believe it's verse 30. This is a place where one of the scribes came and said to Jesus, "What do you believe is the most important commandment?" And we all know what a commandment is, right? It's not a suggestion. Amen. A commandment is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. You've been commanded. You have been ordered, right? It's your standing orders. I made a meme up a long time ago that said, if you're looking for new orders from God, maybe you should start with the standing ones. Right? Maybe we should start with the things that he's already told us to do. Start doing that before he gives us something else to do. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said this. If you have a red letter edition Bible, it says it in red. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. What do you think it's called when you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength? Can we bring that to a word? Love the Lord your God with passion. Say that with me. Love the Lord your God with passion. The Message Bible even puts it this way. Love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Love the Lord your God with everything you've got. And the only way you can do anything with everything you've got is understand that everything you got is passion. I played a little video this morning of Hudson singing 8, 9, 10, 2. But he was singing it with everything he had, and it caused me, and I wasn't even in tune, but it caused me to pull out my phone and videotape him because he was doing it with passion. He was singing at the top of his lungs and beating on candlesticks with something, I don't know, because I'd stop him with that. But it's important for us to understand that God wants us to live a passionate life, passionate for him. If we continue on with that, he says the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all of your passion. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to live a life that is full of passion. The word passion in Greek is the word heart. God is saying, I want you to put some muscle into it. I want you to put some effort into it. We talked last week that our relationship with God can be sustained just by commitment. It can be. If you are committed to being a follower of Christ, if you are committed to doing the best you possibly can and living for God because you know that it's the right thing to do and you're thankful for what he's done for you on a level of commitment, you can survive there, but you will not thrive without passion. Put some energy, some emotion into your relationship with God. Don't be a wimp about your relationship with him. We do so much stuff in our life that is just half-hearted. But he wants us to be a people of passion. Don't want to stretch it too far, but think about this for a second. What do they call the week that Christ was crucified? The Passion of Christ. He gave that week with everything he had, all of his emotions, all of his energy, all of his efforts, every muscle he had, everything he had, he put into it. He is our example. He wants us to live a life that is full of passion and purpose. If you're going to follow me, Basically, Jesus said, I want you to do it with passion. Some oomph, some spark, some zip, some enthusiasm, some zest. I want you to live passionately. It's an amazing thing in America. It's okay to be passionate about anything except God. You can be passionate about a sports team. You can be passionate about certain vehicles. You can be passionate just about anything. Google. Google up a passion for, and you could find a passion for books. You could find a passion for butterflies. You could find a passion for cars. You could find a passion for dogs. I mean, it is okay to be passionate about anything and everything in our society today but God. And what is worth more passion than God? Nothing. Nothing is worth more passion than our relationship and our love for God. Nothing. Books on passion for mushrooms, a passion for needlepoint, passion for pasta, a passion for ponies. There's a passion, a book, it's called A Passion for Steam. Really? Seriously. But it's not okay for us to be passionate about our walk with God. Oh, phooey. That's a bunch of baloney. If I can be passionate about anything, I can be passionate about my relationship with God. How about you? I can be passionate about my relationship with God. I said this the last couple of weeks, and it's really, for lack of a better word, I'll just say it's haunting me. Not in a spooky way, but it keeps coming back around to my thoughts. I think I would rather be considered one of those crazy Christians than people not knowing that I am one. Seriously. We're so concerned about our reputation. Why? You think the people that are passionate about trees care what you think? Or steam or poodles or whatever? We've all met weird people, right? We've all met weird people who just seem to have this weird sensation about something, whatever it may be. Why isn't it not okay for us to be passionate about our relationship with God when He's already commanded us that we are to love the Lord our God with our passion, with our heart, with our mind, with our soul, with all of our strength? It's not just a whim. It's not just something we have to think about. We are just to do it blindly. If you're passionate about something, you really can't hide it. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Let's turn there. Romans 12, 11. Romans 12, 11. The NIV says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. He's given us instruction throughout His word that says, keep the zeal up. Keep the passion up. The Message Bible puts it this way. Keep the fires going in your life. Keep it aflame. Timothy says, fan the flames. Stir up those gifts. part of those gifts are knowing who we are in Christ, knowing who Christ is in us, and that we can be passionate about our relationship with Him. In the Message Bible, it says, tend to the flames. Talking about the passion. Tend to. It's not something that's automatic. It's a choice. It's something that we have to work at. It's a discipline. Passion is a discipline. Passion is something we need to tend to. We need to cultivate it. We get distracted, and everything in life seems to conspire to keep us from being passionate about God. So he says, keep your passion going. Keep the fires going. It's discipline. It's not just something that happens automatic. When we were first believers, and we had a really good understanding of what Christ had done for us, that our sins had been forgiven, that we were going to be spending eternity in heaven, we knew how bad we were. Now we knew how good we were because of what he had done in us and for us and through us. Right? Remember? There was something. It was easy to have passion then. It was new. It was fresh. It was exciting. The book of Revelation says, I really don't have much to say bad about you except for the fact that you've lost your first love. You've lost your passion. You have kind of just become lukewarm. You didn't go away. You just went away. You just kind of became ho-hum. Stir up the passion in our lives. I think it's important for us to understand that if we're to tend to it, there are certain things that we should probably be doing, certain things that we should be careful of, right? So that passion doesn't dissipate. It doesn't go away. And I just want to talk about a couple of them this morning. One is, you know, if you have a talent and you don't use it, your passion for that talent will go away. Tammy's not in here, so I'm going to tell on her. Tammy, and most of you who have heard her teach, knows that she has a teaching gift. And when she first got saved, I think I told you this a couple weeks ago, my mom mentioned when I saw her that they had gotten Tammy a Bible when she first got saved. It was a green NIV Bible that had her name engraved in the top of it. And it was either in gold or silver on this green. It was a student study Bible. And within 3 months, it looked like it was 30 years old. I mean, she had beaten that thing to death. She had it written in and highlighted and notes on the side. And I mean, it was a mess. I think we still have it, but I mean, it you can't hardly read it. But the opportunity really wasn't there at that point for her to teach. So she got discouraged because she wasn't really able to teach. There was no opportunity for that to happen. And even over the last 10 years, I've said to her, do you think you want to do something? Nah, I don't have time right now. And I'm like, but Tammy, you've got all this already wrapped up inside of you. Just let it out. The truth is, she's lost her passion for teaching. Doesn't mean it's gone forever. I'm just saying that passion isn't there right now. But the gift is there. And if we don't stir up those passions in our life, the passion goes away. If the passion goes away, we become ineffective in the gifts that he's given us. So if you know that God has given you a gift or a talent, you need to find a way to use it. Now, back then, when Tammy was in that position, it probably wouldn't have been okay if she just said, well, I'm just going to start a Bible study in my home. It probably would not have been accepted as very well. Nowadays, it'd be fine. And for any of you, if you want to do that, you go right ahead. You got my blessing. But whatever the gift or the talent is that God has given you, find a way to use it. Find a way to step out in it and start using your gifts and talents. Because whatever you don't use, you will lose the passion for it. I told you guys a story before. It's just one of those stories that I heard as a kid growing up, and I just love it because my dad used to get on me all the time, so it was nice to hear stories when his dad had gotten onto him. And one day as a teenager, he used to play the accordion at church. And he probably won't want me telling that story, but he used to play the accordion at church. And my grandfather had stopped going to church. And one night, my dad got upset with somebody, and he just packed his accordion up and took it home. He says, I'm not going back anymore, and I'm not playing that thing anymore at church. And my grandfather told him, just go get the accordion. So he went and got the accordion. He says, I want you to play me the song. So he started playing. You have a talent, use it for the Lord. You have a talent, use it for the Lord. If you do not use it, you will surely lose it. You have a talent, use it for the Lord. And he went to put it away, and my grandfather said, play it again. You have a talent. And when he got done, he went to put it away. My grandfather said, no, do it again. I don't know how many times he had to do it, but it was a lot. Till finally he says, okay, I'm taking it back to church. But he got the message. It's important for us to understand that if God has given us a talent, if he's given us a gift, if he's given us some ability, we need to find a way to use it. If you are having problems with that, please come and see me. We will talk it out. We'll figure out how to get it used. It's important because your passion lies within your gifts and your talents. Say that with me. My passion lies within my gifts and talents. One more time. My passion lies within my gifts and talents. I can like cars, but I don't really like cars that much. I'm not ever going to be real passionate about cars. Just not my thing. But ask Elwood. He loves cars. And he can tell you all the old cars and what's in them and all this. I mean, it makes no sense to me. Passion is within your gifts and it's within your talents. It's within the things that God has placed within you to be passionate about. What else is another way that our passion can be messed up? Another one is guilt. Unconfessed sin will eat away at you and steal your passion. We must trust that the God who forgave us and washed our sins away will forgive us and wash any new sin away. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to bury it. You will cause more damage to yourself than just going to him and saying, God, I'm having a problem with this. I need your help. One more. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 and 10. I'll just read it. It says, two are better than one, because if one falls down, his friend can help him. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. We need each other. We all fall sometimes. We all stumble sometimes. So we all need people to help us in our lives. So my third one here is this, a lack of fellowship. Do you want to be passionate? Hang out with people who are also working and tending to being passionate. Even the world knows that one. Birds of a feather flock together, right? Fellowship is important because together we can stand arm in arm. If you finish that passage of scripture, it goes right into, and if you can find a third, a three-strand cord is even better. What about a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a tenth? If we could come together in like-mindedness, in worship and honor and praise to God, our passion can start to be stirred up if we're talking about it, if we're thinking about it, if we're praying about it. And in our practice of prayer, in our practice of fasting, in our practice of worship, in our practice of praise, if we continuously say, God, I want you to stir up the passion that I once had. Let it become fresh and new in my life. I don't want to serve you half-heartedly or with only half passion. I want to serve you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, with all of my might, with everything I've got, Lord. I want to serve you with everything. Would you stand with me this morning? The Bible says that God is love. It doesn't say God has love, right? It says God is love. Those are some things we can do, but there's another thing we can do, and that's this. If we will strive to stop striving. To enter into his rest, enter into his presence, and allow him to completely saturate us, we will become more love. And the more we become love, the more we are passionate and a passionate people. Heavenly Father, we love you. We honor you and we thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your kindness, and for your love for us. We love you this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would stir up within us the gifts and the talents that you have placed within us. Those things that may have become dormant in our lives, those things that have been kind of set aside because of lack of opportunity. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, that you would stir those things up in our hearts and in our minds. Let them come to the forefront of our thought process. Let them come to the forefront of our dreams. Let them come to the forefront of our mission in life. That your passion in us would stir up the passion that we have for you and for your people and for the kingdom of God. I pray blessings upon your people, Lord, that you would go with us, keep our minds stayed upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.